Glad to be with you this evening. And I've got a peculiar type of speech because the circumstances to which it came about. And I was reading Hebrews chapter 9, and I read it again, and I came up to a conclusion. And the conclusion was, it was very succinct, accurate, and awe-inspiring. And I thought of, some commentary, possible facts, anything that I could add to it. And I kept thinking to myself, this is so perfect. And if I added my commentary or my facts or anything like this, the chapter would be better, be worse off than is if I just read it alone. So I came to a conclusion, my speech, if you will be the simple reading of chapter 9 of Hebrews. And I think Josh Johnson, I read verse number 26 to him one Sunday after the sermon, and he turned to me and said, verse 26 that you just read is the entire, if you will, New Testament in one sentence. And I was rather inspired by that, satisfied by that, and I did not expect his response. So I will begin by going to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1, and I will, if you will, finish reading the entire chapter, and I hope that you will be just as moved when I gave it a reading, and then another reading, and it touched my heart. And if I may say this, as a macho man, I actually wept. And I was alone, so I was safe not to be embarrassed, but I wept. I truly did. All right, I'll adjust the microphone as I've been told, and I will begin with verse 1. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table, and the shewbread, which is called the sanctuary. After the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had a manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the tables of the covenant. I'm sorry about this. That word caught me by surprise. Covenant. Okay. And over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way to into the holiest of all was not made yet, excuse me, was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks, and divers washings, and cardinal ordinances imposed upon them until the end, excuse me, until the time of Reformation. But Christ being come as an high priest of the good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, made not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, perjure conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. That is incredibly beautiful for the first page. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force, and after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all, while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Very important, no remission. Okay. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the truth, but into itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. We're getting very close to when I read to Mr. Jackson, and he made this statement. It's verse 26. Got coming up very soon. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. That is incredibly powerful, succinct, and to the point. And I do appreciate you listening to the word. And also, I have now come to the end of the chapter. And if anyone here is willing to accept God into their lives, walk a Christian life, and I do not know their hearts, but I am willing to pray with them. And as they accept Jesus, the baptismal waters are also ready, as we are ready, and you are invited to come forward.